I sat here last week and listened to Pastor Guy's message about freedom and how God can help to break those chains that hold us captive in our lives, and that's what God wants for us, is to be free of all of those things. And that thought kind of kept revolving through my mind this week as I was working on the message that I wanted to share with you today. And so what I want to share kind of dovetails what he had shared last week. And I want this to be a sermon of reassurance for believers that God is for you and that he is on your side. The scripture passage that we're going to be looking at today is Psalm 118. It's sandwiched right in the very middle of the Bible. In fact, it is the center chapter of the Bible. There are 594 chapters before it and 594 chapters after it. The one before it, Psalm 117, is the smallest, shortest chapter in the Bible. It only has two verses. And the one right after it, 119, is the longest one. It has 176 verses. So if you're a trivia person or like to remember little facts, there you go. I just gave you a few. If you ever play Trivial Pursuit, you might win with those little bits of knowledge to add to your facts. Psalm 118 is part of a group of Psalms, 113 through 118, that are known as the Egyptian Hallel. Hallel means praise, so Egyptian praise. The Jewish people sang these psalms. They didn't read them, but they sang them before and then after the Passover meal as songs of thanksgiving to God for the victory that he had helped them to obtain and for his salvation. Psalm 118 would likely have been the last song that Jesus sang when he was in the upper room with his disciples. You can read about that in Matthew 26 and in Mark 14, if you'd like to look that up, before he went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And you can also find this passage of scripture being quoted in parts of the New Testament several times. Jesus even quoted from this passage of scripture. So there's a lot of good in this particular chapter for all of us, this psalm. And I'm not going to take the time today to do the whole psalm. I think, you know, if you want to stick around for 3 hours or so, we could probably get through it all, but I don't think that's on anybody's agenda for the morning. So we're just going to take a look at the first 9 verses of this particular passage and tackle that this time, and maybe we'll save the rest for another sermon down the road somewhere. I'm going to read it for you right now. Psalm 118, verses 1 through 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. O let Israel say, his loving kindness is everlasting. O let the house of Aaron say, his loving kindness is everlasting. O let those who fear the Lord say, his loving kindness is everlasting. From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. The writer of these words is generally thought by biblical scholars to be King David. And if you've read much of the Psalms, you know that that particular book of the Bible is just full of the highs and lows of life, times of being on the mountaintop and celebrating and praising God and being in the pits of despair. It covers it all, and it's very real, very heartfelt what's written there. And so I think it's something that we can easily relate to as individuals. I think we all have those same kinds of moments in our lives. This psalm begins with David encouraging everyone to give thanks and praise to God for his goodness and for his steadfast love. That's what those first 4 verses are all about. His loving kindness is everlasting. They just couldn't say that enough. It's interesting, too, that the first verse of this psalm and the last verse of this psalm are identical. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And then it starts with verse 5 when he tells us about his own personal experience. He was having a struggle of some kind or another. We don't know exactly what that was, but we know whatever was going on in his life at that time wasn't good. And he writes these words, "From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place." He had a problem. He had a struggle, something that was stressing him out. And this verse tells us that he knew things weren't good. We do know that things weren't good, but we also know who he called on for help. When the psalmist was in distress, he called upon the Lord. People who don't pray will stay in the grips of distress. People who don't pray will stay stuck in their distress. We can't depend on our own resources to see us through when troubles come into our life. You know, our own resources, we're just going to blow through those so quickly. There's just not enough that we have within us to get us through. So how about you? Have you been in distress lately? Has there been a problem or something that you're struggling with? Something that feels like it's overwhelming you? Well, I think that we all have some of those struggles and troubles in our lives at one point or another. Even our little 4-year-old granddaughter, Everly, has troubles like that sometimes. Hers aren't nearly as big as some of ours might be, but she was recently at our house, and she loves to play with Legos right now. That's her thing. And so she was trying to put some Legos together, and they just wouldn't fit. She couldn't get them to fit, and she kept trying and trying, and I was watching her, letting her go. And finally, she looked at me, and she said, "Graham, I'm so frustrated. Fix it. Help me." And so I did what every good grandma does. I fixed it for her. Well, sometimes we need to say those same kind of statements to our God. "God, I need your help. I just can't do this myself. I'm frustrated. Help me. Help me." We have trouble. All of us have trouble. And it says that in the scriptures in John 16:33. It says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world." Yes, we all have problems. We all have struggles of one kind or another. Maybe the doctor gives you news that you didn't want to hear, that you have a life-threatening illness. Or maybe you have too much month left at the end of your money, and you just don't know how you're going to pay all those bills that are piling up. Maybe your employer is downsizing, and you're part of what's going to be part of the downsizing. You're losing your job. Maybe your spouse is threatening to leave you. Maybe your kids are just completely out of control and you just don't know what else to do. The list goes on and on and on. And it can lead to a deep sense of fear, panic, a lot of anger sometimes. Will crying out to God end that bad situation in that moment? Usually not. I find that in most situations, God wants to guide us through that situation to show us how he can work in the midst of it all. I have often thought, wouldn't it be great if when we became a Christian, God issued us a great big giant credit card that we just walked around with through the rest of our life, and every time something started to happen, we just held up that credit card and boom, it was gone. No problems, no struggles, no trials whatsoever. But then I think about the other side of that. That might be good for a moment or two, one problem or two, but think about it. If we never had troubles, if we never had struggles in our life, if everything just went smoothly every single day, why would we need God? You know, we'd think we could do it all ourselves, right? We'd have no point to trust in a God to help us through those situations. We wouldn't realize that we need to rely on him for the help that we need, not ourselves. The psalmist knew that he needed somebody bigger and stronger than himself to handle his situation, and so he cried out to the Lord. He realized that the result of whatever it was that he was dealing with was now God's problem and not his own. I like that. When he called out to the Lord, it became God's problem. It wasn't his anymore. I'm asking you today, who do you call out to? Or what is it that you run to when a problem comes into your life? He called out to God, who he knew was his only hope. And here's the amazing part of that verse. "And the Lord answered me and set me in a large place." The God of the universe, creator of it all, answered him. Guess what? He'll do that for us too. He's there for us every moment of every day. All we have to do is just call out to him, and he answers us. He moves us from that situation that we're in into a large place, a place of abundance, of opportunity, a place of possibilities, a place of hope. And sometimes that's what we need the most, is hope. The phrase large place in Hebrew reads a pasture or a large field. Not only did God answer, but he set him free. Yes, we still have to deal with the problem, but not with the worry of what is going to happen. That's how God sets us free. We turn it over to him and let him take care of it. He puts us in that place with no more chains. As Guy preached about last week, God wants to break us free of those chains that bind us, those things that hold us down, those things that keep us from finding true freedom and true joy in our life. He wants that for us. He wants to give us that hope, that freedom. This week on Wednesday, we celebrate the 4th of July, Independence Day for our country. And what an amazing day that is, that we celebrate once a year. We remember the price that so many paid so that we could have the freedom to live here and to come and worship freely without fear of someone stopping us from doing so. It's amazing, the price that was paid for this freedom. But I want you to know, too, as a believer in Christ, we can celebrate Independence Day every single day of our lives. Why? Because Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. He died on that cross to give us freedom, to give us eternal hope, to give us eternal joy, a future, a hope for each and every one of us when we call on his name. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord, there's no reason not to ask him into your heart today. He's waiting and wanting to do that. You can have today be your true Independence Day if all you do is ask him to forgive you and to live in your heart. Verse 6 says, "The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" If there's any verse that you can take comfort in, I think it's this one. God is for you. He wants the best for you. And he wants to give you his very best. Romans 8, 31 and 32 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also with his gracious love give us all things?" Please don't misconstrue what these verses mean. They don't mean that God's going to say yes to everything that we want. They don't mean that we are the center of the universe and God's job is to fulfill our every heart's desire. Rather, he is the center and we live to carry out his desires. We exist for him. That's why we're here to worship. We're not here to worship each other. We're here to worship him. But rather than being a God who just demands to be served, he serves and he helps us. Isn't that amazing? He serves and helps you and me. Awesome when you think about it. Jesus, the powerful servant, he led by example. He taught us how to love, how to serve others. And that's what he asks of us to do, to give our lives in service for him. So with God on your side, what is it that other people can do to you, really? They might make fun of you. They might criticize you. Maybe they condemn you. They could take away some of your things and stuff. True. But what they can never, ever, ever take away from you is your relationship with Jesus Christ, who paid the price for your sins when he died on the cross. So when you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, people can't really hurt or touch what matters most. They can never take away your relationship with Christ. It reminds me of the story of the businessman who went in to see the pastor one day, and he was very distressed, very down, and he just said, "I've lost everything. It's just terrible. My life is awful. I've lost everything." And the pastor said, "So you're telling me that you've lost your faith?" And the man said, "No. I haven't lost my faith." "You're telling me you've lost your salvation then?" "Well, no, I never said I lost my salvation." "You've lost your hope of heaven?" No, I never said that. My salvation is intact. I know I have the hope of heaven. The wise pastor looked at him and said, well, it seems to me that you have everything that truly matters. All the other things are just things and stuff. It's your relationship that, with Christ that is above all else. No matter what it is that you're going through right now, I want you to remember that God is walking beside you, that he is with you, that he is for you, and he will help you. Verse 7 says, the Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. Once again, he reminds us that God is for us and that there are others who are going to come alongside and help us. It's easy to think that we're all alone in our troubles sometimes. And sometimes the people that we think are going to be there for us and we wish were going to be there for us truly aren't there. But God has that amazing way of sending people into our lives at the moments that we need it the most. He works through them to help us in our troubles. Someone once said that a true friend walks in when all the others walk out. When we're going through the hard times of life, you kind of find out pretty quick who your true friends are, don't you? God uses people. He's working with them and through them to give you the strength that you need to get through whatever struggle it is that you're facing in life. Here's the part I want you to remember, though. People have faults. They make mistakes. They let us down. They can fall. They don't always do what they say they're going to do. Sometimes they don't come through for us like we expect them to. So don't put people on a pedestal. We've seen a lot of well-known people in our country lately fall, some even carrying religious titles to their name. So don't fix your eyes on people. Don't fix your eyes on me or Guy or Kate or Randy or any of us. We can fall. We can make mistakes. We're imperfect people too. We're human. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't idolize any person or any group of people. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the only one who will never, ever, ever fail you. God is always working for our good, whether we see it happening or not. And that's why it says in verse 8, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. People will let you down, but God never will. In fact, it's better to trust in him than even the very best of men. The book of Heroic Failures tells the story about the British Army during a time when they were filling in for firefighters in Britain who were on strike for the year. One afternoon, these replacement firefighters were called to a home for a cat that was caught high up in a tree. Well, the soldiers came to the scene, rushed up there, put up their ladder, and came down successfully carrying the cat, gave it back to the owner. Well, she was so happy that they had rescued her cat that she invited them all in for tea just to say thank you. And they had a lovely time enjoying some refreshments and talking with this lady. And finally, they said goodbye. They got in their truck, and they backed away. Over the cat. Like, people mean well, don't they? But their help isn't always very helpful, is it? Not so with our Lord. Like the psalm says in verse 8, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Verse 9 says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Now, in our country, we don't have princes, but we do have presidents and vice presidents and other leaders in our country. But we need to remember that we can't put our hope in them. We do need to pray for our government. We need to pray for our officials who lead our country. We need to pray that they'll be godly people and that they'll follow God's leading in directing our country. But I want to say that a man or a group of men cannot fix our country. That's God who can fix our country. And he tells us if we'll humble ourselves and pray that he'll heal our lands And that's where the heart of the change in our country will come from. God is the only one who can truly follow through on his every promise, his every word. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." We trust in Jesus, not our own works or the works of another man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord and not in anyone or anything. So when times get tough, I encourage you to dig in, to trust him, to call on the Lord and be a conqueror. Depend on the Lord and you're going to win. That's what King David shared with us in this psalm. That's what he did. You can count on God because God is for you. He loves you more than you can ever think or imagine. And he wants the very best for you. That's his desire, to give you a hope and a future. And that's why you can call on him in those times of trouble. No matter what kind of problem it is that you're facing, he's ready to move you to that large place, that place of abundance, that place of hope, that place of possibility. He's there to help you get the victory over your struggle. You can count on God when you can't count on anybody else, because as this psalm tells us so many times, his love endures forever. We have no concept of forever. We can't hardly imagine that. It never ends. His love never ends. People will let us down, but God never will. He will protect you. He will lead you and guide you and direct you. So I ask, who are you trusting today, God or man? Remember that he's for you and he's never going to fail you. What's keeping you from that large place? What chains are holding you back from having the freedom that he offers so freely to each of us? God will help you. You can't do it on your own. You have to ask for his help, and he will help you. He wants to give you the very best because he loves you. And he is for you. Let's pray as the worship team comes up. If you have a need, we're going to open the altars. Please feel free to come up and pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the great hope we find in you. I thank you that you are a God who never fails, that you love us and you always are working for our best. God, I pray today if there's anyone here who is having a struggle, that they'll have the courage to come up and turn it over to you, Lord. And if there's anyone who has never asked you to be their Lord and Savior, I pray today's the day that they find their Independence Day with you. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your amazing name that I pray. Amen.